Nedry. The sign said, electrified fence, 10,000 volts, do not touch. But Nedry opened it with his bare hand and unlocked the gate, swinging it wide. He went back to the jeep, drove through the gate, and then walked back to close it behind him. Now he was inside the park itself, no more than a mile from the east dock. He stepped on the accelerator and hunched forward over the steering wheel, peering through the rain-slashed windshield as he drove the jeep down the narrow road. He was driving fast, too fast, but he had to keep to his timetable. He was surrounded on all sides by black jungle, but soon he should be able to see the beach and the ocean off to his left. This damn storm, he thought. It might screw up everything, because if Dodgson's boat wasn't waiting for him at the east dock when Nedry got there, the whole plan would be ruined. Nedry couldn't wait very long, or he would be missed back at the control room. The whole idea behind the plan was that he could drive to the east dock, drop off the embryos, and be back in a few minutes, before anyone noticed. It was a good plan, a clever plan. Nedry'd worked on it carefully, refining every detail. This plan was going to make him $1.5 million, 1.5 meg. That was 10 years of income in a single tax-free shot, and it was going to change his life. Nedry'd been damn careful, even to the point of making Dodgson meet him in the San Francisco airport at the last minute with an excuse about wanting to see the money. Actually, Nedry wanted to record his conversation with Dodgson and mention him by name on the tape, just so that Dodgson wouldn't forget he owed the rest of the money. Nedry was including a copy of the tape with the embryos. In short, Nedry had thought of everything. Except this damn storm. Something dashed across the road, a white flash in his headlights. It looked like a large rat. It scurried into the underbrush, dragging a fat tail. Possum. Amazing that a possum could survive here. You'd think the dinosaurs would get an animal like that. Where was the damn dock? He was driving fast, and he'd already been gone 5 minutes. He should have reached the east dock by now. Had he taken a wrong turn? He didn't think so. He hadn't seen any forks in the road at all. Then where was the dock? It was a shock when he came around a corner and saw that the road terminated in a gray concrete barrier, 6 feet tall and streaked dark with rain. He slammed on the brakes, and the jeep fishtailed, losing traction in an end-to-end spin, and for a horrified moment he thought he was going to smash into the barrier. He knew he was going to smash. And he spun the wheel frantically, and the jeep slid to a stop, the headlamps just a foot from the concrete wall. He paused there, listening to the rhythmic flick of the wipers. He took a deep breath and exhaled slowly. He looked back down the road. He'd obviously taken a wrong turn somewhere. He could retrace his steps, but that would take too long. He'd better try and find out where the hell he was. He got out of the jeep, feeling heavy raindrops spatter his head. It was a real tropical storm, raining so hard that it hurt. He glanced at his watch, pushing the button to illuminate the digital dial. 6 minutes gone. Where the hell was he? He walked around the concrete barrier, and on the other side, along with the rain, he heard the sound of gurgling water. Could it be the ocean? Nedry hurried forward, his eyes adjusting to the darkness as he went. Dense jungle on all sides, raindrops slapping on the leaves. The gurgling sound became louder, drawing him forward, and suddenly he came out of the foliage and felt his feet sink into soft earth and saw the dark currents of the river. The river! He was at the jungle river. Damn, he thought. At the river where? The river ran for miles through the island. He looked at his watch again. 7 minutes gone. You have a problem, Dennis, he said aloud. As if in reply, there was a soft hooting cry of an owl in the forest. Nedry hardly noticed. He was worrying about his plan. The plain fact was that time had run out. There wasn't a choice anymore. He had to abandon his original plan. All he could do was go back to the control room, restore the computer, and somehow try to contact Dodgson to set up the drop at the east dock for the following night. Nedry would have to scramble to make that work, but he thought he could pull it off. The computer automatically logged all calls. After Nedry got through to Dodgson, he'd have to go back into the computer and erase the record of the call, but one thing was sure. He couldn't stay out in the park any longer, or his absence would be noticed. Nedry started back, heading toward the glow of the car's headlights. He was drenched and miserable. He heard the soft hooting cry once more, and this time he paused. That hadn't really sounded like an owl, and it seemed to be close by, in the jungle, somewhere off to his right. As he listened, he heard a crashing sound in the underbrush, then silence. He waited, and heard it again. It sounded distinctly like something big, moving slowly through the jungle toward him.